Ons voor jou, wat nou? In this season, we are zooming in on some of the most relevant expat topics, and we hope to give you a helping hand regardless of the expat phase you are in. This is season 2, Ubuntu Tips and Tricks.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Ons voor jou in this season 2, Ubuntu Tips and Tricks. Today, Edwin and myself are talking to two friends, Lausanne in the Netherlands and John Ria in the Caymans. And today we are discussing giving birth abroad. Lausanne and John Ria, welcome and thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Corey. Thanks, Eddie, for inviting us. We also really excited to share our experience and to see where this episode takes us.
Before we get into the conversation, can you both just briefly tell us a little bit about yourselves and then we get into the content?
Right, ek is Lausanne. Ek en my man het 2.5 jaar terug Nederland getrek en ek is ma van 1 en my seentjie is 14.5 maande oud. En oor na jou, Jandra.
Hi julle, ek is Jandra. Ons bly nou al vir 7 jaar hier in die Cayman Islands. Ek het 2 rooikop seentjies. Die oudste is 2.5 en ons jongste word 1 oor 2 weke.
Awesome. Corey, thanks for allowing me to co-host this this episode. But I think, you know, just before we get into the meat of this episode, let's get into the SAFA index, you know, and Lou, on that, thank you for inspiring us to do this SAFA index today on an item that's going to be really relevant to motherhood and to giving birth and all of it. And so, yeah, Corey, let's jump into the SAFA index early in the episode so we leave the remaining time of the episode for the real discussions and the questions and the content.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, everyone. So today, ek moet sê dis 'n interessante item vir my om te gaan opsoek het in al die lande. Vandag gaan ons bietjie kyk na die prys van doeke.
Welcome to the SAFA Index.
So for today's, I just said doeke, for the diapers, I looked into Pampers Premium, the size 1. Apparently Pampers Premium is one of the better type of diapers to use, and I tried to find, let's say, the 88 piece packs around the world. Some of them are one more, one less, and so I tried to get a good average. And please, the two mothers amongst us, if you hear me say weird numbers, please let me know. In South Africa, as our baseline price for the nappies or the diapers I just mentioned, it's 240 rands for a pack. Then if we look into America, it's 380 rands, Canada 360, and then as usual, the UAE, so Dubai and region, is the cheapest again with 200 rands for a pack. I don't know, these guys, they are just always the cheapest. And then as always, also the most expensive is Australia with 440 rands for a pack of diapers. So I can see parents that visit South Africa when they go back to Australia leaving their clothes behind and packing nappies.
Almost basically double.
Yeah, that's more or less, but I mean, that's Australia is just insanely expensive to live.
I'm interested in to know, because you didn't mention the Caymans there, we've got our standard list there, but John, do you have an idea what 80 pack diapers pack would cost in the Caymans around?
So just to make it easier, everything over here is about 4 times more expensive than it is in South Africa. So whatever it is in South Africa, you can just multiply that by 4.
Okay, and so that's almost 1,000 rand. Kick Australia off the podium there.
I think we're considered the third most expensive country when it comes to living costs in the world, if I'm not mistaken. So yes, that's why we tend to go nuts when we visit South Africa, or we prefer shipping things to Ireland versus purchasing baby things on Ireland.
Wow, that's insane. I think I will stop complaining about the prices of stuff in the Netherlands.
I want to head into the episode. I'm really excited to hear a few things, you know. So from you guys, you said 14 and a half months, so going on 15 months. So that's a COVID baby, correct?
I would say that. Yeah, he was born 10 months after COVID hit the Netherlands.
Okay, so
basically in COVID. Yes, that's great.
Okay, and Johnny, then I didn't pick it up in the intro. You've got two kids, but pre or post or pre and during or both pre COVID.
We have a bit of both. So our firstborn was a pre COVID baby, which was a lovely experience. We got to have my mom here, and the world felt relatively safe and normal. So that was our first experience. And with our second born, and when we started thinking about having a second, we thought, by the time we get pregnant and we have the baby, COVID would be something of the past. But needless to say, it wasn't. So he was born during COVID, luckily. By that time, it was after we were completely under lockdown. And so things were slightly back to normal, but it was still, you know, the whole process of getting tested before you give birth, and your partner having to test negative for them to be allowed in the hospital during birth. So yeah, we experienced all of that.
Okay, but with your Johnny, with your firstborn, the first time that you realized that you were pregnant. Okay, so the very first time when you in a different country, what was the main concern for you, or the main thing to wonder about how it's going to be or whatever, you know, what was that first thing that came up in your mind?
I think the two major concerns we had was childcare and just general support after birth. On island, childcare is extremely expensive, and also just finding that right person that you trust with your baby is extremely challenging, considering the culture difference and the language barriers that we experience with nannies on island. So that for us was I think our main concern is finding the right person and the right place once I had to return from maternity leave. And I think the other thing that we quickly realized, or that became a concern for us, is the difference in healthcare compared to South Africa. On island, they follow a very midwife-led approach to pregnancy, and it's not as intense as it is in South Africa. So throughout your pregnancy, you might have 4 scans during your whole pregnancy, whereas in South Africa, you have a scan every month and the gynecologist reassures you everything is perfectly fine and they talk you through it. Here you go for your general checkup. They check your blood pressure and those type of things. And if all of that is good, they consider you to have a healthy pregnancy. And it was just that mind shift that, you know, everything is fine and you don't need a gynecologist to do a scan every month.
Okay. So, yeah, it sounds interesting. But Lou, you and John, you guys are besties, as you would say, I believe. So by the time that you got pregnant, what was the first concerns that popped up into your mind? And did John Ria play her supportive friend role and to kind of, cool those tempers, or not tempers, the that concerns a little bit down or not?
For sure she did. So vir my, die eerste ding waar ek regtig geworried was die feit dat ek in 'n land is wat ek nie eintlik weet hoe dit werk nie, en dat dit soos in Suid-Afrika is myself, dis reeds bekend oor hoe goed hanteer word en wat mens moet doen en wat die proses is wat jy volg en so voort. Maar om in 'n nuwe land te wees, weet jy nie presies hoe hulle gedoen en wat hulle van jou verwag nie. So dit was die grootste concern, was die voorbereiding voor die tyd. En aanvanklik, toe ons uitvind ons is swanger, was het regtig net voor COVID, maar Lucas is toen in COVID gebore, maar toe ek uitvind ek swanger, toe is ons plan eintlik nou maar om in Suid-Afrika geboorte te gaan gee, want jy weet, daar jy soos 'n support structure, jy het familie en vriende wat jy kan help, jy weet wat die proses is, en so in ons kop het ons gedink, dis die plan. En toe 'n maand na ons uitgevind het, toe gebeur COVID hier in Nederland, of toe kom het in Nederland aan, en allemaal toe gedink, ag, dit gaan oorwees die tyd wat ek September moet vlieg, so die plan is ons gaan Suid-Afrika toe. Vinnig het ek agtergekom dat dit nie die plan is nie, en ek moes toe vrede maak met die idee dat ek in Nederland gaan geboorte gee, en dit was die grootste worry, maar rondom dit het ek maar net weer uitvind, soveel as moontlik met mense gepraat, wat Suid-Afrikaners al het, ek hulle nie so goed geken nie, uitgevind, hoe het hulle dit gedoen, wat was die proses, wat is voor en nadele, en ek het maar net vinnig besef, ons het gekies om Nederland te kom, en dis nou maar deel van die besluit dat jy neem om te trek, as jy een kind gaan kry, dan moet jy maar aanpas in die land waar jy is, so ek het ook baie vraag vir John Rugg, en John Rugg en baie reassure, want sy het net voor my daardoor gegaan, so dit het ook baie gehad.
Okay, and awesome. I think, yeah, so the things you already mentioned also touched a bit on the question I have, and that's also surrounding the whole support system, both before and after you've given birth. Obviously, we have Skype and Zoom and WhatsApp calls and everything, so you do have that connection back home. But how do you go about recreating or substituting or filling that gap that is left with the normal support structure you thought you would have in South Africa and now not having it here?
So met tegnologie wat so ver gevorder is, is dit verseker baie maklik, soos jy nou gesê het, om met mense reg oor die wêreld actually te connect en vra te vra, die tipiese vra wat jy oor die algemene proses, dit wat dieselfde is in elke land, is die natuurlike geboorteproses te kan vra en dit al vir jouself kan uitsorteer. Maar rondom dit, wat ek nogal ietsie kan bynoem van Nederland, baie companies hier in Nederland het actually omrede daar so 'n hoë persentasie expats is in Nederland, het baie companies soos 'n struktuur waar hulle mense soos type van 'n les hou, waar as jy swanger is, kan jy aansluit by die les. En toe ek uitgevind ek swanger, het ek eintlik by booking.com gewerk, fantastiese employer, maar hulle het actually so kursus gehad, en dit het nogal baie gehelp, want daar het die doula met jou kom praat, en vir gesê, weerie, dit is die proces die in Nederland werk, want ek denk, daar is baie, die Nederlandse proces is verseker baie anders as reg, of hulle benader swangerskap baie anders as die rest van die wêreld. Maar ek denk ek en genre die selle experience, omrede genre reeds genoem het, soos dat die publieke mediese systeem en proces op die eiland baie dieselfde as hoe die Nederlanders het benader.
And genre, sorry, just before you also maybe answer the question, also what role does your friends that you now have in your new country play in this whole filling the gap part?
Yes, I think since pre-kids this didn't mean much to me, but now we really understand where it takes a village to raise a child. Just because, yes, technology is amazing, but it doesn't give you that opportunity to go to the bathroom without having a toddler on your lap trying, you know? So you need those people to really be there when you're in need. And I have to say that South Africans are just amazing in doing that and supporting each other. And we really found that it just happened that way, that we have a really strong South African community on island, and those are the people who are always so keen to jump in when you need them, even if it's in the middle of the night. Other people as well, for sure, but I can just say that, you know, we stand together when the going gets tough, and I think that's one of the most important things. If you can really invest in building that village, already raising kids in a foreign country can be so much easier than it would be doing it all by yourself in isolation. Just knowing you have other people to rely on as well.
John, as you were talking, I just added a WhatsApp group. So whenever my wife and I, if we do get pregnant, I've already added a few friends that's gonna be part of our support. Let's say our village, because
listen, you'll spend a lot of time chatting in there, and just knowing other people is going through the same thing as you makes that situation already so much easier. then rather than feeling, you know, it's just us, this is happening to you and we're in isolation. So you're not making a mistake by starting that.
I was actually just meaning, I'm just going to drop the kids at Corey's place for 6 days of the week and then collect them on Sunday.
You can drop him over. If when you come and pick him up, you can at least kick a rugby ball. So that's fine.
No, exactly, exactly. All right, let's move on to the costs. Just out of interest, I'm a spreadsheet guy. Did any of you, Lou, did you maybe run a spreadsheet from once you became pregnant to maybe say now? Do you have an idea of how much it costs, you know, having a baby abroad in the Netherlands? Do you have a ballpark figure?
Unfortunately, I don't have an idea how much or what the impact was after having babies. I think I decided to not go into the detail because I think you'll probably lose your mind. But something that was really a big impact on our monthly income was definitely, but John also touched on it before, but daycare and childcare in the Netherlands is also super, super expensive. To give you an idea, we pay 1,700 euros a month for daycare of Lucas, and that's only for 4 days a week. So it's not even all the whole week. So I actually have to take it off at work as well to look after him one day a week. But yeah, so that's definitely way more expensive than, well, that was the biggest chunk of the income that changed since we had children. But unfortunately, I don't have the full sum of totals that we've paid since.
I was just taking a chance, Johnny, and on your side, what was the most expensive item or most expensive thing of giving birth, you know, in the Caymans?
So if I can in general tell you, if because we make use of the government system on island, so luckily for us, the whole birth process didn't cost us anything. However, some people who are on private insurance and who make use of the private system, a lot of South Africans travel to the United States to give birth there, and just because of the whole process of obtaining a passport and a visa for the children. Because what happens is, if you don't do it that way, you're stuck on island for about a year to wait for the South African passport to be issued. So I think that can be very pricey, having to travel to America, having to stay there for a month or two before the birth, long enough before the birth, and then having the baby there and staying after until you're all clear to fly back. Another challenge or another financial challenge that we have on island is we tend to order our baby things from the state, so shipping and duty can, and also because you do it that way, you pay for everything all at once. So you buy your entire year's supply of clothes, pajamas, anything that you can possibly think of. So that is also like a big chunk all at once. Whereas in South Africa, there's shops everywhere. You have all the options. You've got all the brands. So I think those are the two. And then also childcare on island is extremely expensive, and they don't cover any food or diapers for the kids. So it all adds up.
Okay, yeah, that definitely does sound like it all would all add up. And it's awesome for mothers that's gonna, or potential mothers that's listening to the podcast, you know, to take these things into consideration, find out maybe beforehand, you know, what are the financial implications going to be for your budget, you know, once you do become pregnant. So that's awesome. Thanks for that.
I think also that dads need to listen, because this will mean a significant drop in their golf handicap, because their money will be spent on diapers and om die kinders op te pas. Then I think, so obviously, everyone always says you don't know what it is like to have children and it changes your life. And you cannot understand it until you have had your own. And me and Edwin, we do not know that yet. So I think that's already one. So my question is expectation versus reality. And I think the first part is already a big shift in what you expect it to be like and in what it is actually like. But now also you're in a different country. Can you both, John, Riyak, starting with you maybe, like what was your biggest expectation versus reality moment during this process and being abroad?
I think for us, the reality of doing it so far away from family, I think we tend to see our friends and family back home having kids and having them close together, and everything seems fine and everyone seems to survive. And then we ended up in that situation. And I just think doing it in isolation without having someone that's cleaning your house and helping you to cook, and someone who is able to pick up your child from daycare if you run late at work, or just those little things that you know, that we are used to from back home. And that really has a huge impact on just your free time and your ability to make time for yourself. So that, I think, for us was a major reality shock, and how it would impact on your relationship between myself and my husband, and just the emotional strain on, you know, having to, you get up in the morning with a child waking you up, and then you go to bed in your work clothes because you're exhausted, and then the next morning you just wake up again and it's the same process. So I think that for us was our major, you know, reality check, that it is different than from back home. You have to manage without support and really invest time and effort in, you know, strengthening your relationship and making time and finding ways to make it easier on yourself and give yourself a break.
Interesting. Lou, how about you?
Well, genre het het meeste gecover. Ek dink nie daar is iets spesifiek wat ek sal bysit nie, maar iets wat ek dalk kan noem is soos, ek het maar net weer eens besef, ek kan nie eintlik dink dat, of ek my haal my hoed af vir ouers wat alleen kinders groot maak, want ek dink eintlik, sonder mekaar sal dit nie kan doen nie, jy het verseker daai ekstra paar hande nodig, en ek dink in Suid-Afrika, soos genre reeds genoem het, ons meeste van die kere het jy een ouma of oupa naby, en dis amper half meer algemeen om iemand te hee wat by jou huis is om jou te help, en daai ekstra paar rande gaan baie ver, soos in een land waar jy net mekaar het en vriende, verseker, maar vir my is dit nogal moeilik, want ek voel eintlik vriende, dis makkelijk om te sê, vra vriende om te support, en dit is daai village wat om jou is, maar ek kry dit nog steeds nie oor my hart om daai vriende te vra, nie, verstaan, soos dis makkelijk, mense sê altyd, ja, ons sal na julle kinders kyk, julle moet laat weet, ja, by all means, ek sal, maar ek dink nie, ek sal ooit al kom, wat ek sê, hey, Corrie, ek en Riaan wil nou weg weggaan, kan ek vlieke weer ek in boos, so ek gaan nooit al kom nie, so, om eerlijk te wees, mense bied het aan, maar dit is nie so makkelijk om dit te doen nie, want ek voel in een manier in my hart, ek gaan nou nie my nou weg lekker maak, om jou nou weg met my werk, het verstand is, die my verantwoordelikheid te sit nie, so, dit is verseker, dit is, ek denk, harder as wat het in mense kop is voor die tyd, want soos John sê, jy moet soos die huis skoon maak, en jy moet kos maak, en nog tyd maak vir mekaar, en die hele tyd het jy een klein asempie wat jy hele tyd aan die gang hou. Bijvoorbeeld hierdie week was my man Rian actually in Swede vir werk, en ek het hierdie hele week tot op die, ek het soos 100% seker gemaak, ek is reg vir het om het alleen te doen, want Lucas moet school te gaan, ek moet kantoor te gaan, alles recht beplan, alles die vorige hand recht sit, volgende hand is, het ek om school toe gevaat, ek is van die school af Amsterdam toe, kantoor toe, was ek het een uur Amsterdam toe gerei, ek het een uur een meeting gehad, en toe ben die school en sê, Lucas is ziek, ek moet hom onmiddellik omhoog, hy het koers, ja, ek terug van Amsterdam af, so toe was ek langer op die pad, wat ek actually my meetings gehad het in Amsterdam, om vir Lucas te kom oppas by die huis, en is niemand om net in te staan, om net te help, so dit is, verseker harder as wat mens dink dit is, maar dit is nog steeds die moeite werk, dit is nog steeds baie lekker.
Wel, as ek jou glimlach sien, Lou, dan klink het definitief of het nog steeds, of lyk het definitief of het nog steeds die moeite werk is. Wel, ek kan jou glimlach sien, die luister ook net my woord al vervat, maar ek wil beweeg na hierdie perfecte scene wat ek in my kop het, nee, ons allemaal kyk ons movies, en so is die perfecte oogend, die tassie staan red deur, dit is nou, verstaan, jy gaan nou hospitaal toe, of jy gaan nou geboorte gee. Lou, was joune so perfek? Was dit so sprokie verhaal? Was dit so die oomblik wat jy nou gaan verhoor?
Maar dit was definitief nie hoe ek dit envision het nie. Ek het definitief 'n ander prentjie in my kop gehad. Om vir 'n bietjie net vir die luisteraars 'n bietjie agtergrond te gee, in Nederland is hulle baie pro natuurlike geboorte in die eerste plek, en dan boonop dit om vir 'n bietjie idee te skep, soos 85% van die geboortes in Nederland is natuurlik, en 35% van die natuurlike geboortes gebeur by die huis. So dit is bietjie anders as wat ons gewoond is, en ek onthou hoe ek en Rianne het soos van die begin af vas geskop en gesê het, daar's nie 'n manier nie, ons gaan nie by die huis krom nie, dit is nie vir ons normaal in ons kop nie, ons gee nie om of dit normaal is in Nederland, en ons het heeltyd vir die midwife sit so verkeerd gevra, ons onseker, dis wat ons wil hê. Ek het heeltyd gesê, my birth plan, ons gaan hospitaal toe, ek gaan nie eers twee keer dink nie, en so het dit gebeur dat ek teen die dag begin kontraksies kry, en dis 3:00 die oggend in Nederland, en gelukkig is dit toe nou 9:00 die aand met my beste vriendin in Cayman Islands, so het ek iemand om te bel, en ek bel toe vir Jandra, en ek sê, hoorie, ek dink dis nou die situasie, en sy sê, nee, hoorie, dit is nou stukke tyd. En ek dog, wow, miskien is dit fake contracties, ek gaan nou nie vir Rianne wakker maak, so ek wacht toe nou maar uit, tot so omtrent half 6 die oggend, en ek sê toe vir Rianne, en die hele tyd het die midwife vir ons vertel, soos, sy het precies gesê, die reel is, jy moet contractie elke 5 minute vir 'n minuut lang, en dan moet basically 12 na mekaar gebeur, want vir 60 minute al reeds in sync wees. En hierdie twee ingenieurtjies hou by reel, so as die dokter gesê het, dis wat ons doen, ons bel nie voor dan nie, ons hou by dit. En so gebeur dat dit nou nie rarig in sien kom nie, maar ergens toe dog ek bel, nie maar net al om te sê, dis nou die situasie, ek dink ek is in krom. En die dokter het toe ergens na die tyd in my vertel, hy het op die file geskryf, Luzon bel nie onnodig, so as hy bel, vat al ergens ook, en dan rei nie maar na Luzon toe. En dit vind ek nie eers na die tyd uit, en soos, wat toen gebeur is, sy insist toen om te kom, ek sê vir, dit is nou nog nie soos hulle die reels gesê, vir 5 minuut uit mekaar het om nie, want toen die dokter die by die, of die midwife by die huis aankom, toe is ek reeds te ver omsluit, en sy het gesê vir my, daar was die tyd om hospitaal toe te gaan nie, en so gebeur het toe, dat Lucas nou die huis gebore was. En ja, dit was verseker nie wat vir ons voorbereid was nie, dit was seker nie wat ons in ons mind expected nie, maar as ek vandag terugkyk, is dit verseker, wil ek nie die story anders hê nie, en as ek weer die kans kry, sal ek weer kies om 'n baba by die huis te kry. So, dit was regtig.
Klink so awesome, maar glimlag raak dit groter.
Eddie, ek wil net jou bubble burst nie, maar dit gebeur nie soos in die flieks nie. Nêrens nie. Dis in vir
jou die idee,
net 10% van vrouens se water breek. Soos, dit is nie 'n algemene ding, dat alle vrouens soos in die flieks een groot episode het, en dan weet jy, dis nou sikker tyd.
En Jandra, kyk, ja, hoe was joune? Is daar nog 'n kans vir daai sprookie verhaal, as ons nou jou story hoor?
Dink, ek sal nie geboorte en 'n sprookies verhaal in dieselfde sin ooit gebruik nie. maar dit is verseker 'n ongelooflike empowering experience vir elke vrou, maak nie saak hoe dit gebeur nie, geboorte enige kant toe is groot, en het is transformational. Op die eiland is ek baie dankbaar dat ons ook die geleentheid gegee was, en dat hulle so mense encourage om natuurlike geboorte te gee, en dat jou dokter jou nie discourage daarvan nie, want ek weet, net om statistieke te vergelyk, in Suid-Afrika, ek dink 70% of 75% van geboortes is keisers, en waar die World Health Organization sê, maximum 10% van geboortes is 'n keiser eintlik voor nodig. So net om daai te vergelyk is, ek dink dit is baie moeilik in Suid-Afrika om daai ervaring reg te hê, en sy het die regte dokter kry wat oop is vir dit. Maar ja, ons het ook so 'n bietjie van twee ervarings gehad. Ons eerste geboorte was op 40 weke, en dinge het gegaan soos wat ons gehoop het, en met ons tweede seentjie het, hy was vroeggebore, 5 weke vroeggebore, so dit was baie unexpected, my tassie was nie reg by die deur nie, ek moes regkom met niks, oorspronklik, geboorte is baie, jy weet, jy kan net nie jouself genoeg voorberei nie. Ja, jy kan jouself voorberei en dit maak 'n groot verskil, maar ek dink om oopkop in dit in te gaan, gaan dit al klaar vir jou meer magical maak as om sê te wees op dis hoe dit gaan gebeur. Soos wat Luke gemention het, dinge gaan net nie soos wat mens dit imagine nie.
Ja, dit gebeur nie altyd soos plan. So dit daar's baie daar nie onsekerheid nie, maar baie onbeplande tussenin ook. So ja, wat jy kan vang. So Eddie, die beste is vergeet van jou die movie sien.
Maar die TV afsit, nie verder movies kyk nie.
Ja, nee.
En ek hoor dit nie.
Ek dink ek en Edwin, ons het baie geleer vanaand. Well, let me not speak for you, but for myself. And I think quite a lot of interesting and handy tips for the people listening. And I think to last question also, and to round it all up or to summarize it all, what would you say, John Ria, what is the one thing that you would have maybe done differently? I mean, you've done it not twice, so maybe you already did it differently the second time, but like you also mentioned, everything is different every time. But what would you have done differently, or what is the golden tip that you would give future expat mothers and fathers for that matter when going on this journey?
I think for myself, I spent a lot of time preparing for the actual birth and preparing the nursery and having all the practical things ready. What I didn't consider was how it will impact our relationship and just life in general, how little time we will have left to really take care of yourself and make sure mentally, emotionally, physically you're in an okay state to actually care for your children. So I think investing time, money, effort into building that community, making time for each other and allowing your partner time to do things they enjoyed previously, I think that is crucial for being a happy parent and being able to be fully present for your children.
That's a good one. Lou?
On my side, I have personally done something specific. To be honest, I haven't started thinking of doing it again. So I'm not ready for that as yet. So there's also nothing specific that I've identified that I'll change going forward. But I do agree with Jandra. I think the postpartum situation is it's a more rocky road compared to getting yourself ready beforehand. So there's nothing that I can think of specifically.
I have another tip there, Lou. It's just, give yourself a chance to wait until you are ready again. I mean, that's at least the great tip that I'm going to take from that, because my wife and I, we're on that same journey. We're going to give ourselves the time until we feel ready to take on this process.
And if I can just interject there, that's a, I think, super important place to be, because if you're not on the same terms and if you don't feel ready, then I think it just throws you off even more. So I think if your head is in the right space, then, I mean, we have said it many times before, you can never prepare yourself fully for what it is all about. But if you're not mentally there and you take it on, I think it can be really chaotic.
Just imagine.
And I think as a lot of topics we cover, I mean preparation is key, but also just maybe enjoy the journey, because everyone's is a bit different. I think that's, for me, if I have to summarize it, build your community as you should, prepare yourself, but also just enjoy life. I think,
for sure.
So, yeah, I think, I don't know if anyone still has anything to add. Edwin, do you have any additional questions?
Nothing from my end. I've got a lot of notes that I'm going to take to heart. And definitely, we're going to prepare well for whenever that time comes in our marriage, when we decide to have kids. So, no, thanks, Lou, John Ria, really awesome to have you guys on the show. and really awesome to tap into that knowledge and really experience of what you guys have.
Thank you for Jelle. That was lekker.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Form part of our expat community and follow us on your favorite podcasting platform or visit the website onsvoorjoupodcast.com.